This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
This is KPFT in Houston. And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbi, gay, and transgender identity. This is Queer Voices.
Good evening. This is Jack Polinsky.
And Jennifer Renee.
And Glenn Holt. And we have Brian Levinka in here.
Oh, and by the way, Glenn, if you don't know what's happening tonight, it's a little bit not quite
normal.
But we're going to be, of course, first talking to David Elliott.
Okay.
And he's going to give us an update, sort of looking over the national elections, because we have a number of things going on, including the vote in Maine about gay marriage and a couple other trends that may be going on. Our second segment in this hour, Maria Gonzalez is going to talk to us about the local elections. And we have some really historic stuff going on with a number of GLBT, open GLBT candidates running for city council and, of course, the mayor's race. And then in the second hour, we are going to be talking about an event that's happening for the Center of AIDS, which Brian will be talking about. And then I think you have a secret interview, don't you? You think?
Yeah, possibly.
Possibly. We're really a lot more organized than this usually, but there's a lot going on because of this historic event. But and we're lucky to be able to do this because we have this voice here on KPFT that allows us to bring all these things to the community. So we're asking you to pledge, but we'll get more into that. We actually have Chris here from After Hours.
Hello.
Who wants to talk about an event coming up this weekend.
It's two Saturdays from now on the 14th.
That's how jumbled we are.
November 14th. Well, it's kind of getting it out late promotion. It's called Nothing On But The Radio. It is a benefit here for KPFT. Actually, it's a dual benefit. First part is for KPFT. We're going to be having performers, female impersonators, drag queens, and some live singers. We're hoping to, one of them we're hoping to get is a, one you've heard probably here on Queer Voices. You've definitely heard him on After Hours. It's a recording artist. And we're also doing a second part of the benefit is a canned food drive for Resurrection Metropolitan Community Church's food pantry. And with that, we are, there's a challenge on that part that goes along with it. The original challenge was to raise my weight in canned goods. For those of you who don't know me, I'm called the Dowager Wuzzy of the Houston Big Men's Club. I'm the former president, and this is part of my fundraising activities with the club. And we've decided we wanted to up the ante, so we want to raise my weight and Jimmy Carper's weight in canned goods.
Now, Jimmy Carper doesn't weigh anything, though.
He more than you think. Lazarus House has helped him a bit.
Now, see, if it was your weight and my weight...
Well, together with Jimmy and I, it's 500 pounds is the challenge. And we are looking to do that in canned goods. And if you want to donate cash to that, we take a dollar and turn it into a pound. I don't care what the actual currency exchange rate is. It's easier math for us. And this is the first time we've done it on a big scale like this for KPFT. And we're looking forward to putting on a great show for everyone. There's going to be some big surprises in there. Some people you don't expect to see in
You're
drag.
You're going to do drag?
I think so.
Okay.
I have the name. I will be... It looks like if everything works out, I will possibly be in the Earthquake Ain't No Mountain High Enough dress.
Okay, complete with goatee.
Yes.
Oh gosh.
You can't be in Earth's dress without shaving your facial hair.
Oh, it's worth going just to see that.
You have to. That's the. That was what Eartha was known for.
I'm having a moment.
Well, and this is radio, and you can just put those pictures to words from the words. But this is what KPFT is all about, the fact that we come on and talk about other organizations that need help. But this event is also to help KPFT.
Yes, it's something I've done once before. It's a dual benefit, so that we have the majority of the money goes to one organization, and we have the sideline part because... Yeah, the Big Men's Group, we've announced that Resurrection MCC's Food Pantry is our official charity. And when we first did this, it was in January. And everyone thinks about canned food drives from November to the beginning of January. And so I held one 2 weeks into January, and their pantry was already empty at that time.
Wow.
And I pulled up, and I said, hey, I've got some canned goods. It was their canned good donation day. And they said, well, I've got some canned goods. And they go, well, just bring them in. I said, well, I got a couple hundred pounds of it. And I said, we'll meet you at the door. And we unloaded the truck and was able to hand them a couple of checks. And it was a great feeling. They were saying, you know, we were about ready to call our clients and say, we can't see you this week. And it was seeing the amount of food that came in and the variety, although I don't know why people think people can live off pork and beans, but it was a great feeling to be able to do that, and I wish to have done more this past year, and unfortunately health kind of kept me back on that. But I'm wanting to do this for KPFT and for our MCC, and the event is Saturday, November 14th at 8 p.m. going to maybe 10:30 on that over at Tony's Corner Pocket, which is 817 West Dallas,
just outside of downtown.
Yeah, just like a block. Which direction? West from I-45.
And there's plenty of parking.
That's why we picked it. You don't have to worry about parking somewhere, and make sure your car is going to be there when you get done. plenty of space inside there. We're going to be, like I said, we'll have different performers. You'll meet some of the after-hour staff. Hopefully you'll meet some of the people here from Queer Voices. You'll meet some of the KPFT staff, because this is also the official ending of the Winter Pledge Drive.
Yes.
And so this is the first official party saying we're done with the pledge drive.
Right. And once the winter pledge drive is done, the snow will start melting and all that type of stuff, because it's going on for the seems like the whole season. But it's really important that you support KPFT in any way you can, and MCC, which has done some great work. And this is tough times for a lot of people, so the food pantry is really important.
And that's one thing we really like to do with that, is to get the word out about some of these community organizations, because, you know, our MCC is kind of a last resort for some people, and this is a great way of helping not just people with AIDS, but they also help with families who are in the community there, who may not be able to get down to the food bank, may not be able to get around to get to the other sources that might be. And I feel really good about helping out this group. And then, like I said, for how long I've been with KPFT, I've been wanting to do one for the radio station here, and things seem to fall into place, so we're looking forward to putting on the kind of twisted show as much as we can get away with there, instead of our midnight starting of 8 p.m. starting.
Right, right. Well, great. So, and when is After Hours on in KPFT?
After Hours, we're on, officially, we're 1 to 4, but we've been, we're also called TBA, from midnight to 1. So we're midnight to 4, Saturday night / Sunday morning. If, like I said, we're the Daily Show to the Nightline of Queer Voices.
That's an interesting comparison.
Yeah, we used to say Letterman, but I like to hope we inform a little bit. Yeah, stick around for the end when we do Roundtable, where we discuss the current events and put our own little slant on them.
When do you do Roundtable?
Usually starts about 3 a.m.
3 a.m.
So everyone is good and tired, and I'm looking on the internet, and we hit some of the serious stories, but then we also get those weird stories from around the planet. And
And, of course, you can get it on archive.
Yes. We're archived for 30 days on KPFT, and also I think both of our shows are archived on GCAM indefinitely.
GCAM.org. Right. Yes, right, and iTunes.
Oh, and iTunes.
iTunes. Chris, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for letting me on here.
Chris, good to see you.
Good seeing you, too.
Listener contributions play an extremely important role in the quality of the music and news you hear on this station. If you've never made a contribution to KPFT, we need to hear from you. With the threat of reduced federal funding for public radio, first-time contributors are more important now than ever. Call 713-526-5738 now to make your tax-deductible contribution or pledge online at kpft.org. We need your pledge. You make a huge difference in this radio station when you pledge to KPFT. Again, that number is 713-526-KPFT. Call and make your tax-deductible contribution today. You can also pledge online at kpft.org. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio. KPFT, Houston.
And you're listening to Queer Voices.
Well, and we want to continue that on. It is a fundraising week here at KPFT. It's really important that you support us. We have a lot of stuff we want to cover on this show, so we're asking you to pick up that phone right now and call us at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. And David Elliott is joining us on the line. We sort of are going to talk about the national issues right now. Oh, actually, wait a minute. Before we get to David, there's a couple thank yous that Jennifer has.
Yeah, we want to thank Mike Walk-In for the walk-in. And let's see, Neil. I think that's Neil. Is that right?
That looks like, yes.
Well, I want to tell you, we want to thank everybody who's a new member. And that was for Interchange. I want to thank you again, both of you, Mike. And, oh, it's Noah. Ah, if I look closer, I can read this stuff. Whoever writes this, write better, please. They must have didn't have Mrs. Green in the first grade like I did.
Neither did I.
We want to thank both of you, Noah for Interchange and Mike who just walked in.
Now we're joining, David Elliott's joining us from Washington to sort of give us an overview of the elections tomorrow happening around the country.
Well, good evening, Jack. How are you?
We're doing fine.
Great. And who do we have in studio tonight?
Jennifer's here.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
And did I hear Glenn as well?
Glenn's running the board.
He's running the board. What's the news in Washington?
Well, it's election eve, even though it's an off-year election in most parts around the country. Of course, I know that you all have a big election in the city of Houston tomorrow. I'm not going to talk about that. But I am going to give you a little bit of an overview, because for members of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender communities, there are three important races going on tomorrow.
What are they?
Well, they're in the state of Maine, they're in Washington State, and they're in Kalamazoo, Michigan. In addition to that, there are two important governor's races going on in Virginia and in New Jersey. And then there's one important sort of congressional race going on in upstate New York. I'm going to give you a very, very brief overview of these races and then spend a little tiny bit more time on Maine because that has very historic implications for the LGBT community. First, the three LGBT initiatives that I will be following tomorrow night. In Maine, earlier this year, the Maine legislature passed and the Maine governor signed a bill legalizing same-sex marriage. Religious conservatives gathered enough signatures to put that on the ballot. And so it's on the ballot tomorrow. Advocates are being asked to vote no on question one. Question one asks voters to overturn the state legislature's decision. We'll talk more about this in a minute. In Washington State, the Washington legislature approved a bill that basically grants everything but marriage benefits to LGBT people. You know, every single right, responsibility, obligation that are given to, how do I say this, heterosexually married people would be given to domestic partners. It looks like this measure is going to pass fairly overwhelmingly, which is really, really good for our side. And then finally, we have a referendum in Kalamazoo, Michigan, which is asking whether sexual orientation or gender identity should be added to the city's non-discrimination policy. We want a yes vote there. It's going to be a very, very close race. I think we're going to win, knock on wood, but it's going to be close. Now, those are the three LGBT-related measures that I'll be following. And as I said before, in a minute, I'll talk a little bit about Maine. Let's talk about the governor's races that are on the ballot tomorrow. First, we have Virginia, where a religious right Republican named Bob McDonnell is going up against a rather moderate, some might say hapless, Democrat named Cray Deeds. And unfortunately, this race is going to be a landslide of historic proportions for the Republicans. Probably going to be the Republican winning with about 60-61% of the vote, as opposed to the Democrat getting 39-40% of the vote. That's the way I'm calling it, based on both latest polling, turnout factors, and some other things you have to look at when you're calling these things.
Yeah, I can only imagine what Fox News will make of that.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be fun, huh? Then we've got a little bit of better news. We've got a governor's race in New Jersey. Incumbent Governor John Corzine, definitely a friend of the LGBT community, is going up against an independent and an anti-gay Republican. This one could be close. Well, no, this one will be close. I am predicting that Governor Corzine, the Democrat, is going to pull it out by about 2 to 4 percentage points.
Wow.
Now, if there's a huge Republican conservative tide tomorrow, he could lose. I would not be shocked to see him lose, but I'm thinking that he's going to pull it out. Finally, there is a rather interesting and incredibly strange congressional race going on in upstate New York, in New York's 23rd congressional district.
David, what could you describe that district a little bit?
Yes.
I mean, this geographically?
It's a staunchly Republican district, although kind of independent, libertarian-leaning. It is a very, very rural district that touches Canada. It's extreme upstate New York. It has been held by a Republican congressman or woman for the past 100 or so years. Basically, a Democrat, as we know the term, has never held the district. And Jack, what happened until 2 days ago was that you had three candidates. You had a Democrat who, quite frankly, wasn't that good of a Democrat, kind of a moderate to conservative Democrat. You had a Republican woman who was pro-choice, pro-same-sex marriage. Yes, a Republican woman who was pro-choice and pro-same-sex marriage and pro-union. And you had an independent who is being supported by what's called the Independent Party, the Conservative Party, and basically all of the teabaggers. And over the weekend, the Republican woman dropped out and endorsed the Democrat over the conservative. However, I'm fairly certain that despite that endorsement, the conservative candidate will end up winning probably around 55-56% to 45-44%, just because of who's angry, who's voting, and the demographics of the congressional district.
Again, Fox News will love that one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Look, here's the bottom line, y'all. Tomorrow night is going to be a very bad night for the Democrats, but I believe it is also going to be a very good night for the LGBT community. I've already stated that we're going to win in Washington State, hands down. We're going to win that ballot initiative by somewhere between 15 and 20 percentage points. I think we might eke out a victory in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Although, truth be known, it is Kalamazoo. Who can say? who knows how Kalamazoo is going to play? Now, I'd like to... Jennifer, did you want to say something?
No, no, go ahead.
I wanted to focus a little bit, if I may, just for a couple of minutes on Maine. Because you all know that currently now or as of January 1st, we have four states in which gay and lesbian people can get married, right?
Right.
Iowa, Vermont, New Hampshire, Massachusetts.
All right.
Did I get that right?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, okay, thank you. And then Washington, D.C. coming soon, but that's not a state. Maine is unique and could make history because if you look at those other four states in Washington, D.C., same-sex marriage was either approved by the legislature or by the courts and was not directly approved by state referendum. Now, in the case of Maine, it was approved by the legislature and the governor signed the bill, but conservatives got enough signatures to put it on the ballot. If we win this ballot initiative, it will be the first time in American history, the first time in American history that that has happened. Now, what did the polls say?
David, didn't we win Arizona?
Jack, on same-sex marriage?
Yes.
I believe what I believe you might be referring to is a ballot measure defeating a constitutional amendment to ban same-sex marriage.
Okay.
That ballot measure did not make same-sex marriage legal in Arizona.
Okay, got that.
I mean, but it's a good distinction because by that standard, we also won Idaho.
That's right.
Very strangely, because of help from the Mormons. But I won't go into that. Now, late last week, a poll in Maine came out, and it showed. And remember, in Maine, we want a no vote. We want a no on question one. Question one, a yes vote overturns the state legislature. We want a no vote. But without getting into that, a poll came out showing 48% yes, 48% no, 4% undecided.
Wow.
So, in other words, it becomes what we policy wonks, field people in Washington, D.C. call a ground game. It is up to the field operation. And, you know, there's this great guy in Maine. His name is Jesse Connolly. He's the campaign manager for our side, the No on One campaign. And they have been busting their chops because, you know, I can't put it another way because, you know, this is radio, to get people to knock on doors and to recruit people and get them, you know, to the polls, get them to vote absentee. And early evidence shows that absentee voters who are voting our way are overwhelming absentee voters who are voting the other way. That doesn't mean that we're going to win. It means that I'm cautiously optimistic. We're winning the fundraising battle. Our side has raised $4 million in Maine. the other side, a campaign called Stand for Marriage Maine, has raised $2.5 million. Our side has gotten the $4 million from 20,000 donors. The other side, the Stand for Marriage, quote-unquote, Maine campaign, has gotten its $2.5 million. Well, they've gotten $1.5 million of it from the National Organization for Marriage, a religious right group, and they've gotten another half a million from the Roman Catholic Church in Portland, Maine. I should say, for legal purposes, the Roman Catholic Diocese of Portland. So, you know, we've got a lot of grassroots fundraising support. Here is what I'm worried about. If this thing is going to be decided on the basis of A, the field operation, then we win. If it's going to be decided on the basis of B, the fact that every year support for same-sex marriage gains a point or two in the polls. You know, like if we could redo the California referendum right now, we would win. If it's going to be decided on that basis, then we win. What I am afraid of, Jennifer and Jack, is that in every election that is taking place across the United States tomorrow, there is going to be an anti-Obama, an anti-government, and anti-Democrat wave occurring. And that it is going to just sweep all of these ballot initiatives under, all of these elections under. Now, that having been said, I'm going to go out on a limb right now, and I'm going to say that our side wins the referendum in Maine tomorrow by a vote of 53% to 47%. Maine becomes the fifth state to recognize same-sex marriage and the first state to do so at the ballot box. That's what I think is going to happen.
Now, should that happen, do the naysayers, the churches and the other people and the Mormons and all, do they get to come back for another dip at the well?
Oh, no, Jennifer. It is over. It is the law of the land. I do not believe, now I could be wrong here, but I don't believe that Maine has, theoretically, the Maine legislature, which, keep in mind, has already voted to legalize same-sex marriage, theoretically, they could come back, they could vote against legalizing same-sex marriage, and they could propose a constitutional amendment, I guess. And then it could be voted on again. But you understand, you know, pragmatically and politically, that that would not happen. Once having done so, especially in a libertarian state like Maine, and they had the support of the governor, it's a done deal, just like it's a done deal in Massachusetts, Vermont, New Hampshire.
Okay. What's going on in New Jersey?
Well, New Jersey, you've got the governor's race. Oh, you're talking about what's going on with same-sex marriage
yes.
in New Jersey.
Yes.
Well, it's on hold. It's on hold until we get this election out of the way. And then I think next year we might see some movement, although there's some danger because if there's a Republican wave tomorrow, keep in mind that New Jersey House members are up for election tomorrow. The Democrats have a huge majority in the New Jersey Assembly and will maintain their majority, but they could lose 10 to 20 seats, and that could be a problem. Now, there's also a court challenge. I'm not sure how those two things play off each other. I guess the honest answer to your question, Jennifer, is that I'm not adequately prepared to answer it.
Okay. Well, what's going on with the health care? Where are we on that?
Well, you know, I'm glad you asked that, because I could talk about that till I'm blue in the face.
Well, don't do that. Don't do that.
The House is going to take up health care reform as early as Thursday. We could have a vote as early as Friday or Saturday of this week. It may go into next week. The Senate is 3 or 4 weeks away. We might not have a vote in the Senate until after Thanksgiving. We have two plans out there. We have the Senate plan, which is not very good. We have the House plan, which is really good. It has a public option. It's progressively financed. It's not everything that my organization was hoping for, but it's 80%. And if the House plan were passed intact as it is today, it would be the most progressive piece of legislation passed by Congress since Medicare was passed in the mid-1960s.
Under LBJ.
Under LBJ. It's not perfect. I mean, what does it do? Well, it covers 28 million Americans who are currently not covered by insurance. If you're unemployed right now, or if you're employed but you don't have insurance, you know, offered by your employer, you would have a public option. It prevents insurance companies from denying care if you have a pre-existing condition, and it makes it so that if you get sick and you're covered, they cannot all of a sudden deny coverage. A process known as, if I'm pronouncing this correctly, rescission. So it's really a step in the right direction. It's not perfect. It's not perfect. I mean, you know, under this plan, myself and 110 million other Americans who currently have insurance through our employer, we will not have the public option. You know, we won't have the choice that would be good to make health insurance more competitive and bring costs down. But it's a major, major historic step forward. And if we can get this done, then 50 years from now, people are going to be writing about us in the history books, people.
Now, I understand that the Republicans are going to read the entire 2,000 pages.
Well, I hope they do, Jennifer, because if they do, maybe they'll learn something. And I might add to that that over the weekend, the Republicans announced that they are going to introduce their own 9-step bill. And you know,
finally, they're going to get around to doing something?
Yeah, well, we've been trying to imagine what those 9 steps are. And we think that step number 1 is oppose Democratic health care reform.
Well, and they need a 12-step program.
Yeah, we think that step number 2 is see step number 1, and so on and so forth. So it's going to be interesting. They've already acknowledged that their plan would only cover a couple of million additional Americans. Yeah. It will not cover everybody. Yeah. It will certainly not go anywhere toward covering all of the people out of work, unemployed, or who are employed, but through, you know, their misfortune, you know, don't have health insurance.
Right. David, what do you do for your day job?
Well, I'm the communications director for U.S. Action and TrueMajority.org. You can see our websites at USAction.org and TrueMajority.org. And these days I've been working on health care reform 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And as President Obama said some months ago, don't bet against us. We're going to get this done.
David Elliott, thank you. David Elliott comes to us the first Monday of each month to talk about the goings-on in Washington, D.C. Thank you, David.
And before you all for having me, happy November.
Yeah. And before we go to This Way Out, we want to remind you that we are in our fund drive. It's our winter marathon to raise money to keep the station on the air. We're asking you to call us at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. The phones have not been ringing out there. We really do need you to call, support this show. We really want to cover all the things that we have to cover tonight, but we need you to call and make that pledge so we can continue on. You're listening to Queer Voices.
We get letters, emails, and phone calls saying thanks. Thanks for playing a piece of music. Thanks for keeping listeners up to date on events in our area. Thanks for introducing our fans to new talent. Now we're asking you to say thanks in a very tangible way. We're asking you to make a pledge. When you call with your contribution, you'll be providing us with the resources we need to keep bringing you the new talent, to keep informing you on events at clubs and concert halls, to bring you great news, to keep playing that favorite tune you can hear nowhere else. Call now with your pledge, 713-526-5738. That's 713-526-KPFT. You can also help on our secure website at kpft.org. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio. KPFT, Houston.
I'm Pam Marshall.
And I'm Chris Wilson.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending October 31st, 2009. President Barack Obama signed into law on October 28th what's been described as the first major piece of federal civil rights legislation in the U.S. for LGBT people. The Matthew Shepard and James Byrd Jr. Hate Crimes Prevention Act was attached to a 2010 defense spending bill, which helped secure congressional approval. College student Matthew Shepard was brutally tortured and murdered in Laramie, Wyoming in 1998 in what became the highest profile anti-gay hate crime in U.S. history. James Byrd Jr. was an African-American man who was murdered in a racially motivated assault in Jasper, Texas, also in 1998. He was beaten, stripped naked, chained by the ankles to a pickup truck, and dragged for 3 miles. Existing hate crime laws already include people targeted because of their race, color, religion, or national origin. The new measure gives the Justice Department the power to investigate and prosecute bias-motivated violence where the perpetrator selected the victim because of his or her actual or perceived gender, sexual orientation, gender identity, or disability. It gives the Justice Department the ability to assist state and local jurisdictions, or, if necessary, take the lead in investigations and prosecutions of anti-LGBT-based violent crime that results in death or serious injury. It also makes grants available to state and local jurisdictions to train law enforcement officers to combat violent crimes committed by juveniles. National Gay and Lesbian Task Force Executive Director Rhea Carey joined a chorus of LGBT and civil rights groups who hailed the new hate crimes law, calling it a milestone for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender Americans.
President Obama also announced 2 days later that the federal government would end its ban on travel and immigration to the U.S. by people who are HIV positive. Official publication on November 2nd is the final step in repealing the ban that Obama said was based on fear rather than fact. First implemented in 1987, the policy prevented non-U.S. citizens who were HIV positive from traveling or immigrating to the United States, most recently unless the Department of Homeland Security granted them a waiver. Obama announced the ban's repeal during a signing ceremony for the Ryan White HIV/AIDS Treatment Extension Act, which will fund critical care and prevention programs through 2013. According to the Government Accountability Office, it helps about 500,000 mostly low-income and uninsured people living with HIV and AIDS each year. The measure, named after an Indiana teenager who contracted AIDS through a blood transfusion in 1984, was originally passed in 1990 and has since been extended 3 times.
The government of Kenya announced this week that it will conduct a census of gay men in an attempt to control the spread of HIV/AIDS in the East African nation. The survey will be carried out by the National AIDS STD Control Program sometime within the next few months. The government said it will be confidential, distributed through gay networks and in gay areas, and will ask participants about their sexual history, condom use, and whether they get tested for HIV. However, consensual adult homosexual acts are illegal in Kenya, and convictions can bring up to 14 years in prison. Same-gender sex has been widely condemned by religious leaders there and often sensationalized in the media. The recent civil partnership ceremony of two gay Kenyan men living in London has led to unflattering coverage in their native country and threats to their families. During a telephone interview this week with Nairobi's Daily Nation newspaper, the couple appealed to the Kenyan public and the media to leave us alone. We have not committed any crime. An estimated 100,000 gay people live in Nairobi in the coastal city of Mombasa. Critics say that many of them will be too frightened to participate in the survey. Nicholas Muriguri, head of Kenya's AIDS prevention program, acknowledged to the BBC that a truly comprehensive survey is unlikely, but Kenyans cannot actually afford to say that the gay community are isolated somewhere in the corner. They are part of our lives, he said. This group must be reached with information and services so they know how to protect themselves from getting infected.
Meanwhile, two Moscow lesbian activists who were denied a marriage license in Russia were legally wed in Toronto on October 23rd. Irina Fetova-Fett and Irina Shapitko honeymooned in Niagara Falls, then returned home with their lawyer, gay activist Nikolai Alexeyev, to demand that Russia recognize the Canadian marriage. According to Alexeyev, Russian law requires recognition of all foreign marriages except in cases of bigamy or incest, and same-gender unions are not among those prohibited. It's sort of a loophole in the law, he said. Russia is not expected to recognize their marriage, however, and Alexeyev said the couple would then file a case with the European Court of Human Rights.
Argentina's lower house began debate this week on marriage equality legislation. If enacted, it would be the first nation in Latin America to give same-gender couples the right to civil marriage. However, the Roman Catholic Church, a politically powerful force in the country, strongly opposes the move, as do some evangelical Christian groups. Activist Maria Rashid, who's among the plaintiffs in a marriage equality lawsuit pending in Argentina's Supreme Court, told the Associated Press that the proposal has ruling party support, but President Cristina Fernandez has yet to take a public stand. Rashid said that more than 20 lawmakers back the legislation, and they believe they have enough votes in committee for a full vote in the lower house. Passage there would then move the bill to the Senate.
In other news, up to 25,000 LGBT people and their supporters march for equality in Taiwan's 7th annual Pride Parade in the capital city of Taipei on October 31st. In what is probably Asia's largest pride event, participants also came from China, Japan, Malaysia, and other countries in the region. Marchers dressed in traditional Chinese attire, drag, street clothes, or just swimwear. They carried rainbow balloons and flags with placards demanding that the government make good on its promises to advance anti-discrimination protections and the legal recognition of same-gender couples. LGBT activists have accused Taiwan's politicians of making promises to advance equality during election campaigns only to win their votes. Pride March organizer Tang Chu Chu told the Associated Press that this year's theme, Love Out Loud, reflected the participants' hopes that, through love, we can eliminate discrimination. We love the people around us, she said, but sometimes the society and the government don't love us or even see us. Marchers called on former Taipei Mayor Ma Ying-jeou, who won the presidency in 2008, to honor his campaign pledge to promote equal rights. The procession moved from the square in front of the presidential office building to downtown Taipei before returning to the same square for a post-march concert. Hundreds of Bible-quoting self-identified Christians held their own march on October 24th to protest the pending Pride Parade, warning that granting rights to gays and lesbians would lead to the downfall of Taiwan. A group of LGBT activists and supporters, who said they were also Christian, held a peaceful counter-demonstration. Several carried large crosses to symbolize the religious oppression they said they've experienced.
But in the U.S. state of Florida this week, the Tallahassee City Commission unanimously approved domestic partner benefits for municipal employees and also added sexual orientation and gender identity to the capital city's anti-discrimination and anti-harassment policies. The domestic partner policy change will provide same-gender partners of city workers access to the same health, dental, vision, and other benefits given to married employees. Applicants will be required to provide joint mortgage statements, bank accounts, or other documents confirming their relationship.
A group called Concerned Parents of Green Valley High in Henderson, Nevada, however, has filed a lawsuit to stop school productions of the Laramie Project, scheduled to be performed mid-November, and Rent, slated for a run early next year. The parents' group objects to students playing gay characters and claims that the productions violate the school's policy against R-rated material. This isn't the first high school dust-up surrounding Rent, the Jonathan Larson play that won the 1996 Tony Award for Best Musical. A Dallas, Texas area high school canceled its production in December following organized opposition by conservative parents and students. Green Valley High School principal Jeff Horn told The Advocate that the school decided to stage the Laramie Project about the impact upon its citizens of the October 1998 gay-bashing murder of Wyoming college student Matthew Shepard in conjunction with the 10th anniversary of the play's premiere, which has since led to a 10 years later sequel.
But finally, in another sign of changing times in the U.S. South, the Birmingham, Alabama Board of Education this week approved a new policy that protects LGBT students from harassment and bullying and also protects LGBT teachers. Board member Howard Bayless spearheaded the trailblazing action. Being the first openly gay man elected in the state and the first openly gay school board member anywhere in Alabama, he told GayPolitics.com, I wanted our system to be more inclusive and welcoming to all of our students, but I also knew this would have to be a process that involved my 8 fellow board members. Bayless says he explained to all of them how damaging anti-gay bullying is and described how it personally affected him when he was a student in Birmingham schools.
That's News Wrap for the week ending October 31st, 2009. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. You can read the text of this week's News Wrap online at www.thiswayout.org. For This Way Out, I'm Pam Marshall.
And I'm Chris Wilson.
This is Queer Voices.
Remind you, once again, we are raising funds here for KPFT. And This Way Out is a wonderful program that we have access to free of charge. It comes from our sister station, KPFK in Los Angeles, and it's heard on about 100, 150 radio stations around the world. And it is a very well-produced piece of radio. The first part is called News Wrap, which sort of gets us up on the headlines of what's going on around the world. And the second piece that we play at the last part of our show is usually a feature or two features of what's going on in the community. And it was a great way that we can blend this show by us focusing mostly on local issues for the most part, but then having This Way Out to cover the national issues. And it's a really good mix, we think, of the way we put our show together. So we're asking you, if you think that is a good mix and that it all works together in the way we do our radio show, that you make a pledge now. You can call right now at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. Operators are standing by. You can pledge online if you're listening to this show on iTunes or downloading it from our website, KPFT's wonderful website, where you can pull shows down from the past like 90 days and listen to it at your leisure if this is too late for you. And if you do make that pledge, do say that, you know, hopefully that Queer Voices is one of your favorite programs. So please do that. Please do that. Please do that now. You know, the station just a little bit down the dial raised $1 million in a week. We're not quite in that category, and we don't quite have those needs. But we
it was
do
all those
needs.
Corporations that donate.
Yes, and they have some wonderful people that support them, and I commend them for what they do. But we are a lot more grassroots. Maybe we're not quite as polished as they are, but I think we really try to serve the community, the grassroots community here in Houston. So we're asking you to do your part by calling us. You know, probably only 1 in 15 who listen to this radio station are also members. We really would like you to become a member. We've got a big election going on tomorrow here in
yes,
the city of Houston.
Tomorrow.
And we've asked Maria Gonzalez, who served as past president of the Houston GLBT Political Caucus. And we first have to make this comment that KPFT does not endorse any particular candidate, but we're just basically going to be talking about what's going on with the election tomorrow. The polls open at 7 a.m., and they're open until 7 p.m. If you haven't already early voted, we urge you to go out and vote for the people that you think will best represent the city and HISD and HCC. And there's some really also important questions that are on the ballot, and that's important too. Welcome, Maria.
Thanks, Jack. Hi, Jennifer. How's everybody doing?
Good, good. I voted.
Glad to hear it.
Did you vote early?
I voted first day.
Good.
So did I. Jennifer, I'm glad you've already voted.
Yes.
Let me start off talking real quick about the proposition that the Houston GLBT Political Caucus endorsed.
Okay, please.
There's 11 propositions on there. Real quick, most of them look pretty good. Number 11 gave me pause. It seems to be redundant to it's on eminent domain. I'm going to ask people to review number 11, make a decision on that one. The others, I'm going to say go for it. But more importantly, the Houston GLBT Political Caucus PAC proudly endorsed Proposition 4. Proposition 4 is a proposition to release a dormant fund that Texas set up for higher education so that schools like the University of Houston, UT San Antonio, UTEP, Texas Tech, that these schools will have access to additional monies so they can become Tier 1. They can move up to the ranks that UT and A&M fit in.
Now, that has a lot to do with research facility, the ability to do research, and that's what that money's used for.
More than anything else, yeah. It'll be research directed to try to get those big labs, and then those big labs are going to try to get the big dough from the big granting, of the federal granting institutions, the National Endowment for the Sciences, NIH, National Institutes of Health, the big science foundations.
And having a Tier 1 school here, the University of Houston, will benefit the business community greatly, won't it?
Enormously. One of the things that happened when UT got really serious about becoming a Tier 1, it exploded as a city. It became, you know, our version of Silicon Valley. The students from there ended up building companies and corporations and nonprofits in Austin. It became a phenomenal city. And that movement happened from the 60s to the 80s. And the difference between, for example, 1968 Austin and 1988 Austin is just phenomenal.
Yes, I remember being a native Texan. It's we always loved Austin. I would love to live in Austin, but I can't ever work there. You go to school, you got to leave to go get a job because there really wasn't a business employment base in Austin. But once UT became a tier one school,
got serious, the next thing you know, I mean, it became an enterprise zone, a corporate zone. And as you know, admittedly, there's been a downturn in the economy, but Austin has been booming until last October, like every place else. I also want to talk about the mayor's race.
Well, you know, it's really interesting. There was national coverage last Friday in the New York Times. Today, okay, CNN picked up that story,
yes,
and sort of regurgitated it. But it was a very nice story. I mean, they opened up talking about to Anise and asking her, you know, about her sexual orientation. She says, yes, it's not a secret. You know, I've been open. And then they went into, you know, about her background. So basically hit that, and then they went right into the fact that she's been in office for 12 years.
And qualified and the most experienced candidate, and basically Anise Parker, endorsed by the Houston GLBT Political Caucus, is in fact the most experienced candidate we have and will make a terrific mayor. We're encouraging everybody get out there and vote, and encouraging them, of course, to vote for Anise Parker. She has the experience. She's been our city controller for the past 6 years, has run important audits, has created and identified opportunities for reform and change. She's basically a policy wonk and a numbers wonk. The 6 years before that, as city at-large city council member, she figured out how things work in this city. She's been working on behalf of this city for 12 years, and now that we're hitting some really rough economic times, we need somebody with the kind of detail orientation that Anise has to figuring out how we survive the next couple of years with the economic downturn that we've already hit. And someone like Anise with that kind of experience, as she says, you know, she's ready day one. You know, a leader ready to get in there the moment we elect her.
Well, and you know, it's interesting. Everybody is talking about, well, maybe the city just ought to cut back. Well, the majority of the money that Houston collects for taxes goes for fire and police.
Two-thirds of the budget goes to those two things. So you want to cut back your fire department? When you wouldn't want that if your house caught on fire. And someone breaks into your house, do you really want to call up and wait? We'll get to you next week.
And that's the deal. The thing about Anise is that she knows how to make sure our firefighters and our police officers are funded, well-funded, protected in funding, and has also already done the audits and figured out where the efficiencies, not cuts, but where the efficiencies can happen. The last thing Anise wants to do is trim the staff of the fire department, the police department. Her preoccupation is with where are the efficiencies? Where is it possible that, you know, maybe we don't have two or three cars for the chief of police. Maybe we have one. Those kinds of things. Let me move on to the district races. I'm going by ballot order. When you get the ballot, you'll see the first thing that'll pop up are the state propositions. There'll be 11 of them. Please vote for Proposition 4. The next thing you'll see will be the mayoral race. You all, Anise Parker's our candidate. She'll be terrific. Following that, you'll see the district races. Those are the races where you live, and we've identified, the political caucus have identified terrific candidates. In District A, we have Lane Lewis. He was a past president of the Houston GLBT Political Caucus. He's a leader. He's proven himself. He's running a terrific campaign. We endorse Lane Lewis for District A. In District C, an old friend of ours, Ann Clutterbuck. Yep. She sought our endorsement. Two or three. I can't even. Jennifer, you remember when she first sought our endorsement?
Oh, yes. This is.
This would be her third term.
Third term.
Wow. Then that would have been 2005?
Four years ago, yes.
4 years ago. Ann Clutterbuck, initially we didn't endorse her. The individual we did endorse did not make it into the runoff. She came back, did a terrific job. The caucus endorsed Ann Clutterbuck. Her opponent decided, because we gave her the endorsement, the Houston GLBT Political Caucus, Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, Transgender Political Caucus, her opponent tried to gay bait her because of that caucus endorsement. And Ann Clutterbuck, a true leader, simply said, you know, I worked very hard for that endorsement. I'm very proud of it, and I will not denounce it. And, of course, she won.
Anyway, and has continued to win with the endorsement of the caucus.
That is correct. Every 2 years, she comes back, and we always run into her, and we can always count on her as a friend. So in District C, Ann Clutterbuck. In District D, Wanda Adams. Now, there's another interesting story. In 2007, she was seen as the underdog. She didn't have any money. We endorsed her, worked very hard for her, helped get her into the runoff. And in the runoff, her opponent chose not to seek the caucus endorsement. His loss. And let me tell you, Montrose, which is in District D, made the difference for Wanda. And
it was overwhelming for Wanda.
Yeah,
in the vote.
Pretty consistently in Montrose area, over 80%.
Mm-hmm.
Every pundit and political analyst said the Montrose area decided that race. Wanda Adams is a good friend. She's always worked with us. District D. Now in District F, we have Mike Lassiter, also an out gay man. Mike has been the president of the Harris County Democratic Club for many years. Mm-hmm. He's in District F. He's been a civic leader in that area forever. Everyone knows Mike Lassiter in District F. Yeah. So, you know, we're really proud of Mike. We look forward to him getting either into the runoff, or who knows, he might even win it right off, because his opponents don't seem to be working very hard against him, and they don't seem to have the name recognition that Mike has in his own neighborhoods. So we're really proud of Mike, another out gay candidate. But you know, his preoccupation is with District F, the challenges it faces. It's a fairly tough neighborhoods he's got to deal with there. He'd be a terrific representative for District F. Then in District G, we've endorsed Dexter Handy. We've known Dexter Handy many years. Every time he's run, he's come to the Houston GOPT Political Caucus seeking our endorsement. We're wishing him luck on this one. It's going to be a tough race for Dexter. Doesn't have as much money as his opponent, but he's a good guy. He's really decent to our community, and we expect him to do well, and we're supporting Dexter Handy.
G is my district. So.
That's right. Yes. Yeah, that's right. And Jennifer, I assume you already voted for Dexter.
I already voted for Dexter.
Well, Dexter already has one vote in definitely in District
2. It was an early vote. It was one early vote.
You're listening to KPFT Houston.
I really wish him a lot of luck. In District H, of course, it's Ed Gonzalez, who we endorsed. Ed, lucky Ed, is not facing an opponent. He'll be back on city council. We look forward to continuing to work with him. He won a special election this past spring. He's going to do a terrific job. He sought our endorsement this spring. We had another candidate this spring. He didn't make it, but we're friends with Ed Gonzalez. And this fall, when he sought our endorsement again, we were very happy to give it to him. He's a terrific candidate. And anyway, he's our city council member already, and he's going to do well. In District I, we have James Rodriguez. James also, lucky fella, is not facing an opponent. He's going to be on city council in January once again. He'll be serving his second term. I do want to send out a congratulations and shout-out to Wendy and James Rodriguez. They're the proud parents of a two-and-a-half-month-old now. Little Jake Rodriguez, who... I hope, like his parents, will join the Houston GOBT political caucus as well. Now let's talk about the at-large races. In position one, that was a tough, tough decision for us.
A lot of good people in that race.
A lot of good people in there. I mean, I'm not even going to mention any of them, but there's a lot of really good people. They all sought our endorsement. It was a really, really difficult choice. We ended up endorsing Herman Litt. Herman Litt has been an old friend of this community. A lot of people know him from past. He was on the HCC board, and when he sought to expand the non-discrimination language at HCC, he called on the Houston GLBT Political Caucus to get our input and to help him expand the language. In many ways, it was a tough choice. There was a lot of good people in there, but we ended up endorsing Herman Litt. We wish him luck. It's going to be a tough race. And we look forward to working with Herman Litt in position one. In position two, we have our old friend, Sue Lovell. That was an easy one. Sue Lovell has been past president of the Houston GLBT Political Caucus. She's been a community leader. She's worked with our community for decades and beyond that as well. She works very hard for all communities in the city. Sue Lovell is our endorsed candidate for position two. We expect to see her on city council again next year. In position three, Melissa Noriega is endorsed by our caucus. She's also very lucky because she did not draw an opponent. She'll be on city council in January. Melissa's an old friend of the caucus. She's always worked with us. She was very instrumental in getting us to participate in the whole firefighters challenge that we faced. She invited the caucus to come speak. Chris Banks, the president, went and spoke. One of the challenges that many of the women who are firefighters face is that many of them are from our community, mm-hmm. and we wanted to show our support. So that's Melissa Noriega in position three. In position four, Noel Freeman. This was another tough choice. We had another good candidate in there. Noel Freeman is a member of our community. 2 years ago, Noel Freeman ran. He wasn't successful. But he learned a lot. And the thing about Noel is that he really grew as a candidate. Noel Freeman learned how to become a really good candidate, has a really good grasp of the issues now. He's a tiny bit more conservative than I am, That's okay. He's got some good things going for him. He's a smart fella. He works for the city. He knows how things work. And for some, I happen to be a UH fan, but he's a A&M grad, so the Aggies really like Noel Freeman. He's a terrific guy. I think he'd make a terrific city council member. That's a position four, Noel Freeman, a member of our community. In position five, we have another old friend, Jolanda Jones. Jolanda, well, everybody knows Jolanda. How to, what's there to say? She's terrific. She's been a friend of the Houston GLBT Political Caucus for years. Her son Giovanni is a member of the Houston GLBT Political Caucus because it's part of their value system. Mm-hmm. She's been a strong, outspoken supporter of our community, and we're proud to endorse Jolanda Jones for position five. The city controller race was another tough decision we had to make. There are good people in that race. It was a tough decision. We went with Ron Green. He's an old friend of our community. He's been a terrific city council member. He's, I have to say this, he's an alum of University of Houston, so a little personal bias there for me. But Ron Green has been a terrific city council member. He's one of the individuals we can always count on. He's always been supportive of our community. We ended up going with Ron Green. It was a tough choice, and we appreciated Ron seeking and doing such a good job and getting our endorsement. Finally, in the HISD District 1, that was an interesting situation there. We originally had screened Alma Lara, who we ended up endorsing, but we also screened the original office holder of that position, Natasha Kamrani, who stepped down and decided the day that we were going to make the decision on the endorsement, that day, that she was not going to be seeking re-election. Anma had sought our endorsement. We were impressed with her. She did a good job. We now support for HISD District 1, Anma Lara. Finally, in HISD District 9, Adrian Collins. I just met him. He's very impressive. HISD District 9 needs a good leader, and I think it's Adrian Collins.
Yeah, that's the position held by Lawrence Marshall, the current president of HISD Board. And it is the 17th week that Lawrence Marshall has not returned my phone call, nor has he set up an appointment with me, which I've been trying to get for 17 weeks. Really on top of things, we need somebody else in that position.
In many ways, that's why the Houston GLBT Political Caucus PAC was very thrilled to endorse Adrian Collins in HISD District 9.
Now, to get that complete list, you can go to thecaucus.org. And I've got to remind you again that KPFT does not endorse any candidates. This is the viewpoints from the Houston GLBT Political Caucus, who has been supporting GLBT candidates and GLBT friendly candidates for the past 30 years. The polls are open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. tomorrow. If you don't know where you're going to vote, you can go, if you live in Harris County, you can go to harrisvotes.org and you can look up your address and it will tell you where your polls are. Now, tomorrow being election day, you have to vote in your local precinct. You cannot vote anywhere else, like in early voting, which is a wonderful, wonderful system. So tomorrow you vote in your neighborhoods. Check with the website to make sure that you know where your voting place is. And if you don't vote by 7 p.m., you're out of luck.
And one last thing. The Houston GLBT Political Caucus PAC, Rose Wall is the treasurer. I just want to make sure we get all our ducks in a row here and identify this as the PAC. I'm glad Jack reminds you all, KPFT is not endorsing anyone. This is the caucus PAC. Any other questions you all might have here?
Well, just get out there and vote. And then Wednesday night, the day after the election, there is going to be a caucus meeting, which is at the Haven Center, which is at 1400 block of West Alabama. It's right next to the chocolate bar.
Thank you all very much, y'all.
And you're listening to KPFT Houston. Got to remind you that it is time. It is time for you to pledge to KPFT. We are your community radio station. We need the communities to support this radio station. We'll be back in just a few seconds.
If you plan to call today or later this week to renew your membership, please consider increasing your contribution. As you've probably heard in the news, Congress has often considered slashing budgets for public interest services. As a result, federal funding for public radio may be reduced. That funding may even be eliminated. Though only a small percentage of KPFT's budget comes from federal funding, this funding crisis means that your contribution is more important now than ever. Please consider increasing your contribution if you can. Every dollar you contribute will make a big difference in the music and news you've come to appreciate from KPFT. Call 713-526-5738 to make your tax-deductible contribution or pledge online at kpft.org. Again, that number is 713-526-KPFT. Pledge now. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio. KPFT, Houston.
Think about why you listen to KPFT and the stories you've heard. You listen because you hear stories you don't hear, can't hear anywhere else. It's as simple as that. There's no other news source that's even structured or set up quite like public radio. You certainly won't find it on TV or commercial radio. And it's not just an hour a week or once or twice a day. It's every day. There are some who have their radio on all day, some who listen in the morning, or some only in the car. Suddenly, your membership must sound like quite a deal when you look at what you get. In fact, you might even be thinking that you haven't been giving enough and it's time to increase your gift. But the important thing is to give. Call 713-526-KPFT or join online at kpft.org. This is KPFT, Houston.
This is Queer Voices.
And this is Brian Levinka.
And Jennifer Renee.
And before we talk to our next guest, I have to acknowledge some donations to our show.
Oh, terrific. Who called in?
Keith Wright, who's coming on a little bit later, donated.
Oh.
He renewed. And then
thank
we had a call
again,
in.
Keith.
Christine Dobie.
Christine, thank
also
you.
Also donated. So we appreciate that. That keeps our show going. And
absolutely.
We love that.
Much.
Our next guest is putting on a benefit for the Center for AIDS. And I have to disclose that I'm on the board of the Center for AIDS. So I kind of have an interest in this event. So I want everyone out there to hear about it. And in the studio tonight, we have the main instigator behind the event, Jean-Claude Prats.
How's everybody going today?
Good, I hope. And then we also have Alicia Allen.
Hi.
And let's see, who else is going to be on the microphone tonight?
We have Marcus Harris with Music World Entertainment.
Okay. And you're going to have to tell about the event and why they're here. So.
Okay, yeah. Wonderful. So we're having the Taste of Life is the name of the event. It's going to be a wine tasting and art showing at the fabulous House of Darien event, which is owned by the Noah
Wait,
family.
I've heard of that.
Have you now?
Yes.
So where is that located?
That's located at
2204 Crawford Street. It's in Midtown.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually the House of Darien Media Center.
Right.
And it's part of Music World Entertainment. It's a great place to...
You know, I've never actually been inside, so I'll get to go and see it.
Absolutely. It's wonderful.
Now, tell us more about the event.
Okay, so the event's a wine tasting and art showing. We're going to have various different artists. One's Charles Washington. We have Kate Burke. We have Mike Galt. Fabulous artists here in Houston. We're going to have various different types of wine. We're going to have... several raffles going on. We're going to have a live auction. It's going to be a fabulous event.
So it's not really, there's no admission. People just show up?
Well, we're going to do a small admission, you know, so that proceeds are able to go to the Center for AIDS.
Okay. So let me, as a board member for the Center for AIDS, how did you pick the Center for AIDS?
I believe it, I had one of the CFA's employees, you know, I was asking her, you know, I was thinking about doing a fundraiser, and she told me the best things to do are either children, puppies, or for AIDS. So it was simple. I was like, well, you know, let me make a real impact, and
yeah,
it wasn't hard for me to
well,
make
you know,
decision.
you know, as someone who's on the Center for AIDS, we appreciate the fundraiser, and we know that the disease isn't going anywhere, and it's going into different populations, and so it's still here, and we need the money. And so we very much appreciate that.
Right, right.
So how did you pick the House of Darion?
It was a mixture of knowing a key individual, Mr. Harris, and from there, Mr. Cunningham, one of our directors over the organization, just made a phone call. And
just that connection, just calling.
It's really...
I mean, that seems like it would be a pretty big draw for the event itself.
It really...
Because I've heard it's very nice inside.
It's wonderful.
So, you know, this would be a chance to go and see that.
Yes, yes,
now,
yes.
Now, when is the event again?
It's November the 12th. Not okay. This Thursday, but the following Thursday.
Okay, so let's get that again. November 12th, and when does it start?
Starts at 5 o'clock.
Okay, so 5 o'clock.
Until when?
Until about 2 o'clock in the morning.
So you have a marathon.
A marathon of fundraising.
Oh.
Serial fundraising.
So if people...
That's a lot of wine tasting.
That's right.
So if people go...
Yellow cab going to take people home?
That's right.
Okay, good.
If need be.
Now, if you go, like, right after work, is there something that's going on, and then later other things will be going on?
Correct. The first part of it is going to be the wine tasting and art showing element, and then the later part from 10 o'clock on is going to be more of a party aspect to where we have the youth come in and, you know, mm-hmm. get to show their support.
Very good. Is there, like, a website, or how can people get information?
You can contact me via email at jcpconsultingllc@gmail.com. Or
okay,
feel free.
Let's go through that again.
Was that entirely too fast, right?
That was
entirely too fast.
Okay.
Got to slow it down.
First of all, they had to go get a pen.
Okay.
Okay, then they had to find a piece of paper.
Oh.
And the pen didn't work.
Clearly.
So they found a pencil. Now they're ready.
So we just want everyone to contact the House of Darion. Don't contact me. That's a joke. So that's JCP Consulting LLC at gmail.com. Or you can reach me, you know, via phone. Everyone call me at area code 210-386-0397. Unlimited minutes. It's perfect.
This is going out to the internet, so
come on down.
Anybody in the world,
everybody, you may get everybody calling.
Please.
Now, right. if someone can't make the event, can they still donate?
They still can donate.
How would they do that?
Definitely just log on to the Center for AIDS website locally here in Houston.
And that's centerforaids.org.
.org, and you know, make your donation, whatever your heart compels you to do.
Now, Alicia, can you tell us more about the House of Darion?
Yes, so we rent out for private parties.
Mm-hmm.
We do corporate parties,
mm-hmm.
what I call the decade parties, like
right.
30th, 40th, birthdays, mm-hmm. bar mitzvahs.
Now, is Beyonce going to be there?
She, unfortunately, I believe she's on tour.
Well, you know, this is an important event. We need to get Beyonce, or how about Solange?
Well, I think that's a really good idea. We'll have to check with Mr. Harris.
Because you know
on
the
that.
the star power, you know.
I agree, and she loves the arts.
Well, Solange used to live down the street from me, so I'm kind of
okay.
She lived in the block, and then she moved, I think, to L.A. I don't know where she is now.
But, you didn't keep up with her?
Well, she was down the street in like her. No, I can't. Oh,
what decade was that?
I can't. I'm being told not to.
20 years ago.
I can't divulge that on the radio. The management is telling me not to. So let's get back to the event itself. It's a fundraiser for the Center for AIDS.
Correct, and we have some wonderful sponsors. We have Dillard's from Willowbrook that have donated so many different wonderful items for the raffle that we're going to be holding.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have so many different salons have donated. Bubba McNeely is one of the MCs for the event.
Okay.
It's going to be fabulous.
All right.
A lot of stuff going on. It's going to be really eclectic. Really eclectic.
So, yeah. More of
it. So who's providing the wine? Is there a donation of the wine? We have a
wine distributor that's actually donating.
Do they want their name mentioned?
They don't, not at the moment.
Oh, okay. Just, I wanted to give them a chance.
Everybody. Yeah,
and y'all have been working on this for a couple of weeks.
No, actually, quite longer than that,
okay.
Actually.
I guess before y'all approached the Center for AIDS.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, because I found out about it, and I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Because, you know, as you know, this is a tough economy, and all the nonprofits mm-hmm. are struggling, and we appreciate anything that you could do. And if our listeners are out there, and you like the sound of this event, and you want to go to the House of Darion, you've never been inside, this is your opportunity. It's a week from Thursday, correct?
Correct.
November 12th. Starting at 5 p.m.?
From 5 p.m., you get off of work.
Come on.
We're already waiting on you.
There you go.
Come on, Daryl.
Be sure you don't have to go to work on Friday if it's still there till 2.
Or at least call in. Call in.
I'm coming in late on Friday. That's fine.
And it's a good cause. It goes for the Center for AIDS.
That's right.
And let me talk about the Center for AIDS just a bit. We are founded to be the information hub for people that are newly infected or are affected by HIV/AIDS. And so if you're looking for the latest in treatment, you can come to the Center for AIDS, 1407 Hawthorne. Or if you want to get trained on like the newest techniques and, you know, prevention, we have training classes for that. So centerforaids.org. That's my little plug I have to give. Jean-Claude, what else should we know?
What else? I just really want people to come. I mean, it's going to be fabulous. It's going to be mind-blowing, literally. The House of Darien. I can't really say too much about it.
It's one of those things you have to come experience. I've heard, and I'm all excited about it. So
what's that address again?
2204 Crawford Street.
2204 Crawford.
And where's that? What's Cross Street?
La Branch.
Okay.
Midtown, just south of like 45.
Okay.
It's a whole city block.
Yes, it's huge.
It's a huge gated complex.
Well, we'll have to check it out. Jean-Claude, I appreciate you coming on our show. Is there anything else we need our listeners to know?
Call me.
Okay. What's your number again?
What's that number?
Area code 210-386-0397.
Can we plug a big sale that's coming up? Don't we have a big sale coming up?
I think we have. What's going on?
What's going on? What's coming up that we've missed?
Let's hear you.
Okay, we have to say it. December 5th at Music World Entertainment, for the first time ever, we are going to be opening our gates to the public for Music World Market Square, which is going to be an all-day sale. There's going to be live entertainment and food vendors, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We've got tons of merchandise.
So will there be information at this coming up event?
Yeah, I'm going to try to make that happen.
Okay.
Now, if somebody just heard this, where would they go to get further information on it?
Well, they can call me at Music World Entertainment. And I don't know, I can probably get something on our website. It's www.houseofdarionmediacenter.com.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to suggest that they come to the event, The Taste of Life, on November 12th, and there'll be further information then.
Right.
And on that Thursday, they can support a great cause.
Absolutely.
Well, we appreciate you coming on.
Thank y'all for coming on.
No problem.
Thanks for having us.
This is Queer Voices.
Thank you.
Think about where you are when you listen to KPFT, at home, in your car, while you exercise, or at work. That's one of the things that makes KPFT so important to you. The music is something you love, and being able to listen from anywhere at any time is something you value. Without your support, none of this would be possible. That's because listeners provide the most important source of funding to community radio and to KPFT. Please make a difference now in what you hear and where you hear it. Call with your pledge of support, 713-526-KPFT. This is KPFT Houston. You rely on KPFT when you take a few extra minutes to look back. KPFT helps you make sense of the events that rushed by over the previous days. The voices you hear on KPFT make a difference in how you understand the world. Your daily habit of radio is supported by listeners who make membership contributions. Call now with your pledge, 713-526-5738. That's 713-526-KPFT. This is KPFT Houston.
You're listening to Queer Voices on KPFT, and occasionally they let me...
We let you come on the other side.
That's right.
Because you have the announcer voice, and you don't really get to interview
very much. I don't get to use that very much, do I?
I know. You put us to shame with your massive baritone.
Well, occasionally we actually get to talk about sports. And
sports.
I never thought of myself as a sports...
You're like a butch person, and you're like all in the sports and everything.
Yeah, right.
And I'm like the musical theater...
Well, that's true.
Yes. So who do we have in the studio?
Okay, we have Keith Wright, the president of Team Houston.
Team Houston.
Yep. That sounds pretty butch and sporty.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about gay games coming up in Cologne, Germany, in the summertime next year.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
And we're going to talk about a few other things as well.
Oh.
And so Keith, welcome. And how did Team Houston get started?
Well, first of all, thank you very much. And Team Houston got started back in 1990. The actual first Gay Games was 1982, started out in San Francisco by Tom Waddell, and an American Olympian. And the first two events, 2 years, 82 and 88, were in San Francisco. The third one was in Vancouver. And in the run-up for getting ready for Vancouver, there was a lesbian lawyer couple here and some others who helped form Team Houston.
Cool. Well, team, how many, is that like a bunch of different sports that come together as a team, or is it just one sport? Or
Well, Team Houston is a nonprofit that promotes gay and lesbian sport groups around town in the Houston area, and also organizes the city team that will go to things, you know, events like the Gay Games.
I see.
So there's more than one sport involved. You might have, what, bowling or baseball?
Well,
or
yeah, in fact, we've got about 24 gay and lesbian sport groups or friendly, sport groups around town. And Team Houston is not, it is not an umbrella group for all that, but it's kind of an organizing force for all of the different sports groups that already exist. And if there's new ones that come along, we'll help the new ones get started and get organized.
So if we have people out there that have a sport that are not included, can they contact you, or how does that work?
Oh, absolutely. They can contact Team Houston.
Okay.
And,
what's your contact information?
We've got a Yahoo.
Brian's going to write this down.
I'm writing it down because I like to do it later. Okay.
Sure.
Go ahead.
No, we've got a Yahoo group, and the name of the Yahoo group is Gay Games Team Houston,
mm-hmm.
all one word, and it's really easy to use the Yahoo groups.
Very cool.
And I guess you also include the spouses. In the case of volleyball, I like mm-hmm. to call them the volleyball widows.
The sports widows, yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Sure. When we organize the city team going to going to things like the Gay Games next year, you know, we'll have the athletes, but we'll also have the spectators
widows.
And supporters. Yeah, the widows, sports widows.
So what do? They just sit and watch and clap and...
Certainly, and also do photo support.
There you go.
And there's plenty of other, you know, cultural events that are going on. There's band and chorus. And in fact, our own James Knapp, who, you know,
we love James Knapp. Yes,
he and his partner have moved out of Houston, but
yes, they moved to the Great White North.
Yes, but he will be over there helping out with the Gay Games in Cologne, Germany next year.
Now you said band and chorus?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How does that work?
Basically, they put together, they get volunteers from all over,
uh-huh.
you know, chorus members from all over to come together, and they send out the music ahead of time, and they'll perform at the opening and closing ceremonies and a couple of things throughout the week. And band is the same thing. They have this organization called Team Band, which is basically all the gay and lesbian bands from across the U.S. and beyond, and they send out the music ahead of time, and they all practice it, and they come together a little bit early and perform in the opening and closing ceremonies.
It's almost like a queer battle of the bands.
More like a big group effort.
Oh, okay. All right.
No pun intended there.
Yeah, really. And you're going to have some kind of an event that's going to happen this week.
Oh, yes, absolutely. We're very...
And it's a big secret, and we're not telling anybody, are we?
Not yet.
So why are we promoting it?
Really? Hmm. No. What is it?
We're actually very pleased that the folks, Games Cologne host organization is doing a marketing tour, and Houston is on that is one of the stops.
Oh, well, then we want people to go to this.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, well,
because they can go and find out more about the Gay Games in Cologne next year. Find out more about Cologne. You know, Team Houston will certainly be there. You know, promoting the gay and lesbian sports groups around town and getting people signed up. And it'll be next Sunday, in the evening, 6 to 8:30, over at Meteor.
Meteor.
Uh huh.
What's the address? Do you know?
It's Fairview at Genesee.
Very good. 2306 Genesee.
There you go.
Don't ask me how I know that. I've never been there. No.
I would actually like to know a little bit more about the out games or the gay games.
Yes.
Are they two separate things or same thing? Or
It's two separate things. They're both organized around the sports world.
What do the men look like? I think is what our listeners want to know.
Oh, they look fantastic.
That's how we market this thing. Like, talk about the men.
Well, of course.
And the women.
Playing sports.
Uh-huh.
But the event. The event.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, well, back in 2006, for the Gay Games, we're going to be in Montreal. And
Montreal.
Yes, and there was a little bit of drama, and I don't know a whole lot about it, and I don't want to go into a whole lot about it, but basically... the Gay Games moved the Gay Games from Montreal to Chicago.
Yes, yes, I remember about that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then Montreal went ahead and had their event, and it was the first World Out Games.
Ah. See, I don't understand why homosexuals can't just get together and put on one event.
Oh, but you know the best thing about it? They were 1 week apart, and each one of them had about 10,000 or 11,000 participants.
I see. So it was a win-win, I guess, two events.
It was amazing. I went to both. We had about five people from Houston that went to both. But overall, Team Houston took about 55 or 60 folks to Chicago and about a dozen or baker's dozen to Montreal.
I see.
And so the one event split into two, and now the two are continuing as two separate events.
For right now, yeah. In fact, this year was the second World Out Games, and it was held in this past July in Copenhagen, Denmark. And we took about 10 people and had just a wonderful time. And in fact, once it was over, I spent a few days in Cologne, Germany, you know, scoping it out for next year.
Well, so even if you don't play a sport, it's a good excuse to do a roadie to Europe.
Oh, well, of course.
Well, you want to be a spectator, right?
Oh, I always want to play.
Well, the athletes.
With 15,000 gay people, it is just one big party. We just take over the town.
I see. So the nightlife would probably be extra good that weekend.
Well, of course.
Yeah. Well, and especially with it being Germany, you can get away with a lot more in Germany than you can.
Oh, Glenn, do tell.
No, I'm not going to. That's
no.
When is either one of these functions going to be back in the U.S. again?
What about in Houston? Why don't we have this here?
Well, you know... You want to help out with that?
That's
Brian?
A good question, Brian. I mean, we're both looking at you really hard.
I'm trying to get somebody elected tomorrow, okay?
Mm. Well, in fact, the Gay Games recently announced that Cleveland has won the bid for the 2014 Gay Games.
Cleveland, okay. Sorry.
Hey.
And now, are the Out Games? I mean, I realize you're not representing Out Games, but you know more about this than I do. Are the Out Games then held every year or every? 2 or 4 years, or
they went from Montreal to of course now to 2000 from 2006 to 2009 they were on a 3-year cycle,
okay.
and they haven't announced where the next one will be or exactly what'll happen.
Okay, and so the other one, the Gay Games, the one that that you're involved with,
yes,
more directly, is on a 4-year cycle.
It's always been on a quadrennial cycle, so yeah, 4-year cycle, just like the Olympics.
That's confusing. One is on a 4-year cycle, one's on three. So
it was on a 3-year cycle to get so that they wouldn't collide in the same year, that they were going to move to a 4-year cycle.
Oh, okay.
But then every 12 years they will collide.
No, they're separate. So now that they're offset by 1 year, then they'll go to both 4-year terms. So
they would go to both 4-year terms.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So, Gay Games, you're the president of the Team Houston.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And we support people going to both of the events or any of the events.
You're not political. You like the sport and getting the athletes out there.
You know, that's the main thing.
Exactly.
I mean, it's what it really shows me is that, you know, the gay sports movement has grown large enough that we can accommodate, you know, lots of events like this.
And what sports do you play, Mr. Keith?
I'm a cyclist.
Cyclist, okay.
Uh-huh. We've got a nascent swimming group, and some people are swimming, but not as a group, not overly organized. And I'd love to get into, you know, involved in swimming because it's, you know, burns a lot of calories and it's low impact.
Yeah.
You are listening to Queer Voices, and Brian and I are talking with Keith Wright, the president of Team Houston, about the Gay Games, which are going to be in Cologne, Germany, and other things.
Mm-hmm.
I love your voice, Glenn. It's such an announcer voice.
Well, you know, I used to do it professionally. So.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
So now, again, you're going to have an event. Is it actually a fundraiser, or is it more like a recruiting event this week?
It's more of an information and a registration event, a registration party.
Social.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it'll be at Meteor this weekend on Sunday from 6 until 8:30. And we'll have... Annetta Wachter, who's the CEO of Games Cologne, and Stefan Collette, who's the director of marketing, and they'll be in town joining us for that registration event Sunday evening.
Cool. So, do they have a contact? Do you have an email, Keith, or just on the Yahoo groups?
I do.
Let's give out your email to all of the world.
Sure.
You're a little bit hesitant.
Sure. No, it's KM is in Michael Wright, Wright.
KM Wright.
At PDQ, pretty darn quick.
I have a PDQ account.
Well, there you go.
Crazy.
PDQ.net.
Ah, at PDQ.net. Yes, very
sure.
good.
And, of course, you can use the Google and find our, you know, Gay Games Team Houston Yahoo group, and there's a lot more information there, including the links to all the 24 or so gay and lesbian support groups around town.
So hopefully we will see some people at Meteor Sunday evening.
Oh, absolutely.
Athletic people, come on out.
Athletic people and supporters, and just, you know, come on out and find
anybody,
out.
Anybody, come on out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you for being here.
Oh, thanks so much.
You're listening to Queer Voices.
The parents of gay-bashing murder victim Matthew have campaigned for the inclusion of LGBT people in U.S. federal hate crimes law for more than a decade. Judy was among those to witness President Barack Obama's signature on the Hate Crimes Prevention Act, named to honor their son, on October 28th.
After more than a decade of opposition and delay, we've passed inclusive hate crimes legislation to help protect our citizens from violence based on what they look like, who they love, how they pray, or who they are. I promised Judy Shepard when she saw me in the Oval Office that this day would come, and I'm glad that she and her husband Dennis could join us for this event. There you go.
All right. In her new book, The Meaning of Matthew, Judy Shepard discusses the impact of her son's murder on the family and becoming an improbable spokesperson for LGBT rights. Steve Pride produced this profile of an indomitable mom who continues her fight against homophobia.
Judy Shepard hates October. The sixth day of that month marks the night her 21-year-old son, Matthew, was tied to a fence in Laramie, Wyoming, and brutally beaten. Within a week, on October 12, 1998, he died of those injuries. Today, the name Matthew Shepard is synonymous with gay rights, but before his grisly murder, Matt was simply Judy's son. And in her new book, Judy talks about loss, memories of her boy, their life as a typical American family, and that pivotal event on a cold night in a small college town that changed everything she knew.
This is Judy Shepard, author of Meaning of Matthew, My Son's Murder and the World Transformed.
In the book, you talk about not being completely convinced of the need for the bill at first. So what did you mean by that?
We know laws don't prevent crimes. What I want this bill to do is to educate people. I want people to acknowledge that these crimes happen in the gay community, that they are very violent and prevalent, and they are going up, as are hate crimes committed because of many other reasons. But we know it's not going to stop anything. People aren't going to stop in the middle and go, oh, wait, there's a law against this now, specifically meant to protect the gay community. They couldn't have done anything more to the killers of Matt. But what I wanted to do is educate people, and I wanted to tell people that this is a matter of respect and recognition, acknowledgement of the gay community. I think all crimes have an element of hate crime, but what this particular one is going to do is send a message.
Why did you decide to write this book now?
I began to feel like people who kept calling my Matt Matthew actually needed to meet Matt. He was seemed so one-dimensional and perfect to those who called him Matthew, so it was a disservice to Matt, actually. So I wanted to introduce them to Matt. He was never Matthew to us. He was always Matt, Matty, Mateo, Matouche, but never Matthew.
Did you find the process painful, or was it cathartic?
Well, I think it was probably both. It was painful to have to go back to those memories because we hadn't been there in a long time. But cathartic because once we started remembering things, other memories began to come to us. It was like opening the floodgates, and we remembered the painful things, but we also remembered some pretty remarkable things.
What kind of feedback have you been getting? What are people asking?
Well, the book's going really great. The comment I hear most often is, it feels like you're reading the story to me in my living room. I wanted it to be in my voice. I wanted it to feel conversational, not like I'm talking at you, but I'm talking with you. And I think I've succeeded at that.
In the book, you talk about the difficulty of having to share Matt with the rest of the country. Has that changed? How has it changed?
We've had many family discussions about how much of Matt or ourselves we feel we need to share. And there's some things we've wanted to keep just to us. So there's just some things about Matt that we don't feel are necessary to share, that we just want to keep for ourselves. And things about us, too, that we just don't feel the world needs to know everything. So we tell stories we think are relevant, meaningful to the people who are interested in Matt's life.
Can you talk about your son, Logan?
Yeah, we made a real effort to not talk about Logan when we were doing press at the beginning because we didn't want anybody seeking him out, press or strangers or anybody. So a lot of people actually think Matt was an only child, but he had a younger brother, 4 years younger. Logan now works for the Matthew Shepard Foundation in Denver.
It must be a challenge to devote so much time to protecting Matt's legacy while making your other son feel like he's not being overshadowed.
It's been hard. It's been a process for him, for sure. He writes a blog on our, one of our websites, matthewsplace.com, and he wrote about that process last year. And if anybody's interested, they should go visit matthewsplace.com.
Your book is a very realistic portrayal of a teenage kid, and it's not always flattering. What was your Matt like?
He was funny, smart, loved people, laughed a lot, felt very empathetic and sympathetic with his friends and his peers. They trusted him implicitly. They loved him. They liked to be around him. Everybody loved Matt.
And when did you suspect he might be gay?
When he was about 8. His favorite costume at Halloween was Dolly Parton, 3 years in a row. So I began to think, well, maybe I should pay attention to what's going on here. I know that may sound stereotypical. I don't mean it to, but it just made me aware.
What have been the highlights for you this year?
Well, one of the things for sure was the hate crime bill. That's got to be the highlight. A couple of weeks ago, mid-October, the president addressed the Human Rights Campaign dinner. That was pretty amazing. He was so articulate and very outspoken about what he felt the gay community needed, wanted, and what he could do to help. The Equality March in D.C. was fantastic.
Ladies and gentlemen, Judy Shepard. I'm here today because I lost my son to hate. Had I still had my wonderful Matt with me, I would be telling you that no one has the right to tell my son where and how to worship. No one has the right to tell my son whether or not he can work anywhere, whether or not he can live wherever he wants to live, and whether or not he can be with the one person he loves. No one has that right. We are all Americans. We are all equal Americans, gay, straight, or whatever. Thank you very much.
Many people saw Matt's death as a turning point. Never again. But Matt wasn't the last gay person to die.
What's changed, well, I guess in relation to Matt, we don't read about it. We may read about the first sensational part of the crime, but we never hear how it ends. We don't hear what's going on in the middle. And many of them never make it beyond the local media. It's not a national or even a regional thing anymore, and we all need to know it's going on. We might start to think it's not happening anymore, and it surely is.
How's the foundation doing?
The foundation is doing really well. We're suffering like all nonprofits right now because the economy being sort of squishy. But I have a great staff, small, but very efficient, very committed and passionate about what they're doing. And we're located in Denver. We do some really remarkable things for how small we are.
And is there a website?
There is. There are actually two. MatthewShepard.org is the website about the foundation. And MatthewsPlace.com is a website structured for young people between the ages of 12 and probably 20-something. It's a very dynamic site. We're in the midst of revamping the site so we can upload videos and music and pictures on the website. We want it to be interactive, more interactive, and we're going to have chats and those kinds of things, but that's a little bit into the future.
Judy, what do you want the readers to take away from this book?
Well, you know, there's a variety of people that I hope are going to read it, and I want them to understand that our children should always be the most important part of our lives and to never, ever let a day go by without letting them know how much we love them and to not ever separate on bad words or bad terms. You never know what's going to happen within minutes of being apart. And for parents of gay kids, sometimes it's a real challenge, but we need to be there for them all the time. We can't just abandon them because they're gay. They're our children, and they're born that way, and they happen to be gay. It doesn't define them. I want all parents to understand that their children are the most important thing.
People are coming out younger and younger.
They're coming out younger because now they're more self-aware. There's so much more information out there, and they know they're not alone because of the Internet and the gay community is being depicted in a positive, realistic way now in the popular media. So they're just more self-aware. The sad thing is, 5 years ago, the average age of the LGBT homeless young person was 19, and now it's 14. So there's a whole new set of issues now that we have to address, and there's more of them. But we know also that the number of families rejecting their children is down, so that's good.
One of the surprises to some people in reading the book is Laramie wasn't the first time Matt was attacked.
He was on a senior trip from his boarding school in Morocco and was assaulted by three or four, I can't remember now, local men in Morocco, raped and left. It was, of course, a life-altering experience for Matt and us. He never really lost the posture of a victim before he died. We thought he was on the road to recovery when he went back to Laramie, but up until then, his life was very much changed.
Tell me about the updated play.
10 years ago, there was a play called The Laramie Project, and the original writers, Moises Kaufman and the Tectonic Theater Project, went to Laramie again and re-interviewed many of the same people 10 years later. And they put together a new play called The Laramie Project 10 years later, I think. It's a remarkable piece of how much has changed and not changed in Laramie. He actually interviewed McKinney and Henderson as well. It's an eye-opening piece of work, as was the original. It illustrates how much Wyoming is, like the rest of the country, kind of changed at the same pace of acceptance and non-acceptance. I think it just proves to everybody we're just not that different in Wyoming.
How have the people of Wyoming changed?
I think they were forced to acknowledge their own feelings about the gay community. I think there was no more sitting on the fence, live and let live, kind of. You either had to say yes, you were in favor of gay rights, or no, you opposed it. There was no middle ground anymore. I think that was the biggest change. There's been more education and more public dialogue. But I think that's just the same as everywhere else.
When you were on Ellen last week, you had a great story about coming out. Do we count that?
I did some work with a wonderful young man from Ohio State University, and I tell this story when I travel because it illustrates just how far we've come. He was out on campus, but not at home. So one weekend he drove home, parked his car in the driveway, and left the car running. And he went inside, and his mom was sitting on the couch knitting or crocheting or something. And his dad was downstairs doing whatever he was doing downstairs. And this young man went in, and he said to his mom, "I'm here to tell you that I'm gay." And she looked up at him, and then she looked down the stairs and yelled to her husband, "I win the bet." And I love that story because I think it so illustrates how far we've come. And, you know, I think moms know. I think it's a mom thing. In fact, I think all loved ones know in the back of their mind that the people they love are gay, and bringing it to the front of your mind is the hard part.
And what's left to do now? Are the hate crimes passed?
What we have to do now is build on this first piece of positive, federally passed gay legislation, work on to Don't Ask, Don't Tell, DOMA, employment non-discrimination, all-inclusive. There's still work to be done. We can't just stop now because we have a lot further to go, and I think the road is just going to get more difficult. People are going to start pushing back against us now. They keep saying, well, the hate crime bill is going to be the easy part. Well, it took us 11 years to get it done. Even with the 8 years of the Bush administration, it still took a long time.
What is the thing that people most misunderstand about Judy Shepherd?
Well, I think they must think that I'm an extrovert, that public speaking is no big deal, that all of this public interaction is no big deal, but I'm an introvert off the scale. This is a challenge for me. I never aspired to be a spokesperson for anything. I never aspired to be at the podium making the remarks at anything. If this hadn't happened to Matt, I'd be the P-flag mom making cookies, not the one at the podium urging people on. I would be deeply involved in the mission, but definitely behind the scenes.
Do you ever feel like you're preaching to the choir?
When I started doing the lecture tour, my husband Dennis said, "Do you ever worry that your audience is nothing but the choir?" And I said, "Well, nobody's going to come who doesn't agree with what we're trying to accomplish." And he said, "That's okay, because even the choir needs to rehearse."
Thank you, Judy. This has been a conversation with Judy Shepherd. Her book, The Meaning of Matthew, My Son's Murder in Laramie, and A World Transformed, is from Hudson Street Press. This is Steve Pride. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Judy Shepherd. I want you to know that you too can make a difference if you choose to make the commitment. You can change the world. You can do it as an individual. You can do it as part of a group. You just need to make the choice. Hate is a learned behavior, and we can unlearn that behavior. We can live our lives in love if we make the choice. If you get the message, share it. Don't keep it. And thank you again for listening.
Doesn't my mother cry like everyone? And isn't the air in my lungs the same air you breathe? So who cares whose arms are wrapped up in me?
myself feel. Who cares who I dream of? Who cares who I
for tuning in to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. This week, Pam Marshall, Chris Wilson, Rex Walken with Bill Kelly, and Steve Pride contributed program material. Randy Driscoll performed What Matters, a song to benefit the Matthew Shepard Foundation, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out is funded by donations from our listeners. Thank you. Please log on to thiswayout.org to support our work, listen to our podcasts, read this week's news wrap, and subscribe to CDs of our programs. To receive our weekly program email alerts, email tworadio@aol.com. You can also write to us at P.O. Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappelle and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on WPRR Grand Rapids, Michigan, CFUV Victoria, British Columbia, KFAR Knoxville, Tennessee, and more than 195 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.
This Way Out is heard every week as part of Queer Voices. You are listening to 90.1 FM KPFT.
The roots of democracy are in the actions of each citizen. As citizens, our actions contribute to the process. No matter where you are in the spectrum, from a non-voter to a political activist, your actions make a difference. KPFT is proud to cover the politics of our democracy in an informative, insightful way. Your contribution to KPFT helps us continue the work of bringing you the news you need. Call now with your financial contribution.
Give us a call right now. The number is 713-526-5730. That's 713-526-KPFT. Or visit kpft.org to make your pledge online. KPFT, Houston.
Well, it's a really exciting week here in Houston.
Oh, gosh, I'm looking forward to
lots of things going on with the election, lots of things going on in the community. You know, this time of year when the weather's really nice out, it's time to get involved in the community.
It's good voting weather.
Yes, it is. And it's just been nice living in Houston the last few days.
We only get like 1 or 2 weeks like this a year.
No, that's not right.
We have a long summer.
We have a long time. Hey, just think about the times when people up north are in hip-deep snow and we're down at the beach. Come on, give me a break.
We'll be wearing shorts in December.
That's right.
On Christmas Day. The usual.
It took a lifetime for me to actually have a white Christmas here in Houston. Anyway, hey, call in. There's still time to donate.
Actually, the best way to do it is do it online.
Yeah, we're going to need you to do it online right now.
Yeah, do it online.
Autopilot right now.
Yes, right.
We're without volunteers.
It's getting late, but call. I mean, call. Go to the website, or you can call if you want to, at 713-526-5738, but no one may answer because there's no one here other than us to answer and take your donation.
So we want you to go to the website.
Go online. And remember, to, in the little notation there, be sure on the comments to say this is for Queer Voices.
I sent Summer out there, and... So, our intern is now going to answer the phone.
We have an intern.
We have someone to answer the phone for the next
couple of minutes.
For the next 7 minutes, there's someone there to answer the phone, so please call in. Call in. It's 713-526-5738 and donate.
Let's put Summer to the test.
Support Queer Voices, support After Hours, and all the other wonderful shows you have on KPFT, the community radio station, where everyone gets a chance. Everyone has a voice, and this is the place that those that don't have other places can go.
Well, you know, if you don't support your institutions, they may be gone. And one of the institutions here in Houston, Mary's, seems to be gone.
Oh.
From what we can tell...
That's like the state's oldest gay bar.
Yes, the National Gay Bar of Texas, as they were known as.
So this is a page of our history that's closed.
They used to have a beautiful mural painted on the side.
Oh,
of the
I know. I want to find the guy that did the graffiti.
With Janis Joplin and...
are you talking about the one where...
Are they going to put a monument there like they did at the Chicken Ranch?
So is it going to close and they're going to tear it down?
We don't know. There was a bunch of chatter on the internet.
Mm. Weingarten Realty, did they do this one too?
I don't know. Well,
you know that land must be very valuable though, right?
Oh,
there.
I'm sure it is.
You know.
And the Alabama Theater will unfortunately probably go too. But this institution of KPFT is still here if you want to support it, because we do need you to support the station. We hope you enjoy it. Hope you enjoy all the different types of programming here that's on KPFT, a real local mix of a lot of different things, everything from music to cultural events to public affairs, things you can't get anywhere else.
Oh, yeah, and talk shows here. You know, the people I hear on KPFT that call in would never get on any other talk show in the city.
We have some crazy interviews sometimes.
Well, but I know we do. But, I mean, I'm talking about those that are call-in. Well, just Interchange, just before our show.
I love Interchange. I listen
to it as I'm coming here. Larry's good. But these are conversations that you won't hear on some of the other radio talk shows.
They're kind of out
this
there.
Is the place to be. This is your radio station. So it's important for you to support us as well as the rest of the station at 7 with your donation by calling 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT.
And want to remind you for the last time that Election Day is tomorrow. You get to vote between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. at your local polling place. If you need more information on where to vote, go to harrisvotes.org, and you can find that out. There are important issues on the ballot. Hope you vote. The celebration party tomorrow is at the Hilton Americas downtown.
Ballroom, second floor.
That's right. For
I'll be there.
Parker. I'll be there. Come meet me.
Come meet
me. And Brian. And Jack.
And Anise will be there.
And Anise will be there. Meet her. New mayor. Yes. Who was on the show tonight?
Well, we started off with David Elliott from D.C., giving us the lowdown.
Absolutely. Good guy.
And then who do we have next?
You have the list.
We had Maria Gonzalez talking about the local election.
Yes, we had the endorsements from the GOVT Political Caucus.
Absolutely.
And then after that, we had the group that's doing the fundraiser for the Center for AIDS, Jean-Claude Prats.
And who was the last one?
And we had Mr. Keith Wright, who is the president of Team Houston of Gay Games.
Right. And we had This Way Out, as we do every week.
And we'll see you next week.
Go vote.
This is Queer Voices.
Thank you.
Have been listening to Queer Voices, heard each Monday at 8 p.m. here on KPFT, a publicly funded Pacifica Network station. Queer Voices is produced live in Houston with recorded segments from This Way Out, which is produced at KPFK in Los Angeles. Queer Voices executive producer is Jack Walensky. On-air voices are Glenn Holt, J.D. Doyle, Deborah Bell, Jennifer Renee, Greg Chapman, and Jack Walensky. Be sure to listen every Saturday night, Sunday morning at 1 a.m. for After Hours with Jimmy Carper. It's Queer Radio with Attitude. This is listener-sponsored and commercial-free Pacifica Radio, KPFT, at 90.1 FM, 89.5 FM Galveston, and worldwide via streaming audio from kpft.org. For Queer Voices, I'm Glenn Holt.
Kid is worried. His pops astray. What to say to well-dressed ambassadors from death's truth? Pimp-like, rich, in the morning slick, or sad white caps of snowy seamen in San Francisco gray streets, arm waving to walk the Harrison Cross and earn later sunset purple? Just think, that sad old bum. No money. Presuming to hit the store and buy his tube of oleo for 8 cents. So in cheap rooms at AM 3:30, he can cough and groan in a white tile sink by his bed, which is used to run water in and stagger to.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.